You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who appreciates a nice hot meal at a fair price, Pete Chwaba.
That is me, folks. I like a sensible price and a good meal. Welcome back to Nightlight. This is a Monday edition, and we labored through the weekend to get to Monday so we could talk about all the things in life that make us happy, like movies and TV and comedy and music. A little sports talk tonight following the Bear-Packer game. Oh man, we got a lot, Conrad. We still have a lot of show left, so
that is
I need
true.
You to really, you know, you got to dig deep and get through this, man.
I think
some
I got
push-ups,
it.
Maybe. Okay, what do you mention now?
The same as last time.
Come on, you didn't even add five. How much does it go up when you bench? Like you were at 275, then you're up to 280, like a couple weeks ago. How often do you add weight?
Well, I stopped trying to bench for max. You know, I've been trying to increase it, but not going to max, you know what I mean?
You mean increase the reps?
Increase the reps, slow down the reps also.
All right.
It helps a lot when you're trying, because I think in February I'm going to go for three plates, which is, I think, 305.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
But I got to train to get there, you know?
Here's the one thing I don't like about lifting weights. You ready?
Uh-huh.
Too heavy.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't like it one bit.
I had the thing with the three plates one time, and they said, listen, all you can eat doesn't mean you keep coming back again and again and again. I'm just saying.
That's my current guest, folks. With a buffet joke, Bob Dennis did not leave that one out on the table. Well done, sir. He is here. We will be back to Bob in just a moment. But right now, we got a recap. And we've had a lot of fun here tonight. Mike Clemens joined us for some Packer Bear talk. We talked to... Glenn Silber, whose film plays at the Barrymore this week, called Baristas versus Billionaires. Everything I've read about this film it's fantastic. So check it out if you're in the area. We also discussed a new beer coming to Wisconsin, Yingling, which Conrad says is outstanding. It's been around for 200 years. The founder is a billionaire, but you did the Wisconsin thing and said it's not as good as Spotted Cow.
Well,
and I believe
you. Spotted Cow is the best beer ever, but
you know what would make them better? As if they bought advertising on Nightlight.
New Glarus?
You know what? Take a memo. Once in a while, I have a great idea. I can't believe that just came to me. No, I think...
Talk to New Glarus.
I think I wrote them a note when I first went on the air, and I didn't hear a peep back. So, all right. So we have Bob Dennis in studio. Oh, a reminder. Con, get this ready. We got to re-cue this up. We got to remind people of our Nightlight question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
Question. Question.
Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What is your favorite football movie? We are in the heat of football season, folks. College bowl games are right around the corner. The NFL is kicking butt right now. What is your favorite football movie? I said All the Right Moves, followed by Remember the Titans and Heaven Can Wait. Conrad likes both The Longest Yards. Bob, what did you pick again?
Well, there was a short with the Three Stooges where they played where they played football, and they were just obviously not football players, and they end up winning the game, and it's crazy, and it's one of those things that...
That's why they're the Stooges.
Yeah.
Do you remember there was a Gilligan's Island episode? I've told this story, I think, before on this show, but... You know, Gilligan's Island, they're trapped on the island, 3-hour tour. And this show was completely out of ideas at some point. They brought the Harlem Globetrotters to Gilligan's Island, and they ended up playing a basketball game on the island. Mm-hmm. So I'm doing stand-up at the time. I'm staying with a friend of mine in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and his wife. I stayed with them instead of the hotel so we could catch up. He's a high school buddy. And it's like Saturday morning. We just woke up, probably a little hungover, and we're watching this Gilligan's Island episode. And... somehow, they end up playing this basketball. You've got the Harlem Globetrotters, robots, Bob, and they're playing basketball. And Gilligan goes into the game when someone gets injured. And my friend, and I swear to God, this is what he actually said. He goes, "Oh, yeah, like Gilligan's gonna play." But that's the part he had an issue with in this? Is like, it was like the craziest thing I've ever heard, but it was very funny. So we've also got text to win, folks. That's coming up. I'm going to give you the keyword at the end of this segment. We have a new keyword this hour, and it's our Civic Media grown-up gift list, multi-state text to win contest. Details coming up very shortly. We've got some more time here with our, I think this should count as your eighth visit, Bob. Bob Dennis is here, our mafia expert, because, you know, we did the news. Sometimes I only keep people for two segments. So this is kind of like a new thing.
Yeah. Well, I, you know, I see it as a, you know, per entry kind of thing.
Yeah, you don't get a pay bump or anything. There's nothing that's exciting about it. I'm just telling you. So, all right, before the news, we talked about when you came in and you kind of teased this before, you talked about a connection between the mob and Christmas. And I'm like, well, what would that be? You know, and you told me, and I was fascinated by that. So please share with the listeners.
Well, it's I refer to it as wise guys as nice guys.
Yeah.
You know, they, during the holidays, especially from before Thanksgiving all the way through to New Year's, the different mob and mafia members would go out and they would hand out food and money and toys and gifts.
Yeah.
And they would do all kinds of wonderful things during that segment of time. But, you know, nobody ever stopped to think that all the money that they had made was off the same poor people that they were giving this stuff back to. You know, I mean, they were giving, you know, all this back to people who were, you know, they were buying numbers or they were buying illicit liquor or gambling or, you know, any number of things. And they just decided that that'd be good business to give it back. And Capone was one of the biggest.
Yeah.
People used to say he was wonderful. He was a king. He was a fantastic guy. And people would say, yeah, but if you cross him, you know, it's over with.
You might get a little upset.
Yeah. But you'd get a little bit dead.
It's funny that they do that. Like, we're going to take all your money. We're going to shake down your business. Mm-hmm. And here's a turkey at the end of the year. Like, people don't realize they've been conned. Mm-hmm. And not that they're going to do anything about it anyway.
It's not dissimilar to government. I'm just saying.
Yeah. So you also said a con. By the way, what were am I missing something?
Oh, no. I just sent you a chat.
I know, but... because you thought it was funny?
I did think it was a funny text.
All right, I just want to make sure I understood it right. Yeah, you sent me a text from Rick in the 920 who said, "Bend it like Beckham," his favorite football movie. And that's very well done, Rick. Thank you. I just want to make sure I was reading the right thing.
Yeah, no, it was a great text.
Conrad and I have like 18 different chat methods here. So when he goes like this, I'm like, oh, God, I got to check 18,000 things here. But that was good. Thank you for the share, Con. So another thing you told me about the mob and their connection to Christmas was a cash business, which, as we know, the mob loves cash businesses. Mm-hmm. And it involved trees. Please tell us
Christmas trees.
Story. Yeah.
It was one of their biggest generators of income because in New York specifically, today, right now, a lot in New York will have somewhere around $400,000 in inventory that they have paid for. All right, well, they're going to turn around and take that inventory, and they're going to double and triple the price of the trees, depending on the tree, of course. And that's going to just generate that much more income. And they go around and they put the muscle on people and say, you know, hey, you got to give us our cut. And there actually was different mob families that invested in the different Christmas tree farms so that they would control from end to end and control not only you know, the price and everything else. And it's kind of strange, but it still happens today. There are five major tree dealers in New York. And how many families are there? How many families?
Interesting.
How many families are there in New York?
There's five. To my knowledge, that's what people
tell
me.
Actually, now they say there's six because they're including Canada. But
I've never been in the mob. I tried to join, but they wanted no part of me. There wasn't room in the mob for a guy who pretty much wasn't good with numbers, couldn't kill anybody, and I tried to fit in. So I think I told you this before when you were here. It's one of my favorite connections to the mob. Bob Dennis is my guest. He is our mob expert, and he is from Northeast Wisconsin, but he knows a lot about this stuff, and we love talking to Bob about it. The Comedy Cafe in Milwaukee, a club I used to work, it was one of my favorite clubs in the country. They used to put us up in a condo that was like kitty corner. There was the Comedy Cafe, then right at the corner of Van Buren and Brady Street was a restaurant called Giovanni's. Now, this could be urban legend, another area of your expertise, or maybe it was real. I don't know, but they said that there were bootlegging tunnels from the restaurant over to the apartment building where they put up the comics. So one night we were hanging out, having some drinks, and we went down into the basement, several of us, and we found there was like one of those cemented over tunnels. So we like to think that it was real. But why do they get rid of those tunnels? Like, you could really make money off tourists. Like in Door County, we were talking about Egg Harbor and the Shipwreck Pub and stuff like this.
Well, because primarily it's structurally, they were not built that well. They were built, you know, speedily. And a lot of times the tunnels would also serve as storage areas for alcohol, beer and wine and whatnot. And they would still block those off so that people wouldn't get into them.
Yeah.
But they had multi-purpose. They'd have, you know, the walls and the sides lined, and then they would have the passage through the middle.
Wow. I think, wouldn't it be cool to have tunnels under your house?
Well, I do. I have chipmunks.
You'd have like a bunch of papers because you're a reader. You'd have like articles stuffed in there that you wouldn't want the police to know about. What else do we have mob-wise before we move on?
A couple things. Yeah. There was a couple stories that was real quick here. During the Prohibition, Al Capone had hosted a Christmas party in 1929, and one of his rival mobsters was ticked off at him at the time and tipped off the police about it. They came in to bust it up, and Capone was really ticked, but he still made sure that all of his people got all their prizes and gifts that they were promised, liquor and everything else. Another one was Carlo Gambino, who was head of the Gambino farm family in New York, primarily in Brooklyn, had a big party, and he was known for being like Mr. Give the Gift kind of thing. And if you didn't take a gift from him, that'd be one of the last times you ever heard from him. Or yourself, you'd be ever heard from. Also, Frank Costello was one of these guys who just loved giving things out, gig to people, everybody and anybody. You know, if he saw you and he recognized your face, you got a gift.
What
a
guy.
You know, it's like Oprah. You got a gift and you got a gift.
Right.
It's pretty wild. And then there was the Bonanno family where they had Christmas parties. And there was a little guy by the name of Donnie Brasco.
Oh, yeah.
Who was actually an FBI guy.
And, great movie.
It was right after one of their Christmas parties that they actually did the big bust because he had all the information that he needed and or wanted to distribute. I am trying to think here. There is another one. Oh, here it is. I was going to mention about Frank Costello. He also would give out, one year he gave out studded cufflinks, diamond studded cufflinks, and fur coats as a holiday gesture. And it went to the politicians and the police and the judges. And if you didn't take it, you were not heard from again.
It'd kill you.
Yeah, it's over with.
Well, when you texted me earlier about the nice guy mob connection, it made me think, like, they're all nice guys until they kill you. Like, yeah. That probably allows them to get pony up to somebody. But I did search who were the nicest mobsters. And there's one, Angelo Bruno, who was referred to as the Gentle Don. That's not a reputation you want, right?
Yeah, well. Yeah.
Probably not true. And Tommy Lucchese. And the Lucchese's?
Oh, no. Three Finger Lucchese was a bad dude.
Why are they saying he's one of the nicest guys?
Well, you know, probably paid for it. You know,
but the Lucchese's, were they one of the five families?
They were part of the five families.
Part of the five families. Okay. All right. This is great stuff. I have to read some text next segment, but you're welcome to stick around. You got any other mob stuff for us?
I've got some other things that I can tell you about Christmas that are wild and crazy.
All right. We'll do that. Bob's going to stick around for a few more minutes before the news. Bridget in the 818 says, remember the Titans. Great movie. Loved Sunshine Preacher. All of them. Ryan Gosling is in it, too. Ryan Gosling, before he was a big star. Great text, Bridget. Ed in the 608 says North Dallas 40. We've heard a few votes for North Dallas 40 tonight. Ed also says Paper Lion. Remember that one?
Wow.
Alan Alda, I think,
yes,
right?
Yes, he was starring as George Plimpton.
Yeah, and then Janet from Madison says, I know Mike Clemens just mentioned this movie, but it's the first one I had thought of, too, was Brian's Song. It was a big part of my teenage years. Every time it played on TV, friends would get together to watch and cry. Sad, but so great.
Ryan Piccolo and Gil
very
Sayers.
Well said, Janet. All right, we're coming back after this very short break to read more of your text. Don't go anywhere. It's Beach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. You want me? I
want you, baby. You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Absolutely. More killers. Con, that's the note of the night. Take a memo. More killers in the bumper music. I love that song. That's good energy. Welcome back to Nightlight, folks. I am about to give you the keyword in our multi-state Civic Media grown-up gift list, Text to Win. So get that app ready because you need the app to play. And the keyword is coming in just a minute. Sean Boyce, in response to our question of the night, what is your favorite football movie, says, All the Right Moves, North Dallas 40, Everybody's All-American, the original Longest Yard. And he said, note, my profile picture is the great North Dallas 40 split end, Phil Elliott, who I think was Mac Davis. But that's a great one, Sean. Thank you. And it's he should have just named the football movies he doesn't think are that good. So we'll do that. And then, okay, so folks, our another one of our great fun, really fun Civic Media Text to Win contest. We are in the throes of it. It is our grown-up gift list multi-state Text to Win contest. All you need is the app to play. So get the app ready. I'm about to give you the keyword, and you could win $200 cash. Bob, you could use $200, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Do you have the Civic Media app?
Huh?
Civic Media app? Yeah. Okay, perfect.
That's how I listen to Nightlight.
I love it. Look at this guy. What a company man right here. Fantastic. And if you text in the keyword, folks, on the app, you will be automatically enrolled for our three grand prizes, a brand new snowblower or a stainless steel cookware set or a portable air conditioner. Conrad, tell people what happens when they get a confirmation link.
Yeah, you'll get a link. You just click that link, and then you can earn three extra entries, which you have to subscribe to, Civic Media Today, which is a great read. Get that in your email. And then you subscribe to our podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
And you get even more chances
to
win. Folks, we're laying it out there for you. All right, this hour's keyword. This is exciting. Are we ready? Who's ready? Con?
I'm ready.
Bob, you ready?
Mm-hmm. Ready.
Okay, I can't find the keyword. Hold still. I built it up here. And now I've got it. Okay, here we go. I've got the right page. This hour's keyword in the Civic Media multi-state grown-up gift list text to win contest is freeze. F-R-E-E-Z-E. Freeze. That's apropos.
Good spelling, by the way.
It's called a thing. You wouldn't know what you did. What was the word you tried to spell?
Green. I spelled it so wrong.
Did you spell it Gren?
I put two N's in there or something.
G-R-E-N-N, Gren. this hour's keyword is freeze. F-R-E-E-Z-E. Text that in on the app, folks. And good luck, everybody. Let's have some fun. All right, Bob Dennis, we've got a few more minutes with Bob here.
Can I tell you one quick story here?
Absolutely.
Okay. When I was living in Connecticut, I had to do the Scripps Howard Spelling Bee contest. I was the moderator.
Oh, cool.
The pronouncer is actually the title I had. And you would say the word for the children to say. So they had to say the word, spell it, say it again and spell it, and then use it in a sentence.
Boy, that's lengthy.
It was the worst time of my life. Because I'm thinking, I'll go in there. These kids aren't going to give me much of a challenge. You know, I'm pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh, my. The words they had in there, I had no clue. And I had some that they had given me ahead of time. Never do it again.
And you're the adult.
Yeah. It's like, okay, the pronouncer would like to pass on this word, please. And parents are like groaning, like, oh, no.
Was it hard to watch a kid lose, too?
Not really. I mean, because the thing was, is you started out with like 10,000 kids, and they put the hard words right at the beginning because they wanted those babies just dropping off.
They want the half-wits to take the powder.
It's like, okay, you're done, kid. You know, and people are like, yes, my kid's still in there.
Bob, this has been fun, sir. As always, thank you. Do you have another? Looks like you got another fun fact.
Oh, I've got all kinds of stuff. In Japan.
You got a couple minutes
later. In Japan, for Christmas, people traditionally have what?
Soup?
For dinner.
Sushi?
Geese?
Think American.
Turkey? Ham?
Getting close.
Cheeseburgers?
Chicken?
Tofu?
Ding!
No, not tofu. What did he say? What did Conrad say?
I said chicken.
And that's correct?
Japanese families often have KFC chicken for Christmas.
Wow.
And they have to order it weeks in advance.
What is that about?
I have no clue.
That's like Jewish people that don't celebrate Christmas like to watch the NBA and eat Chinese food. Remember what movie that's from, Conrad? Your boy.
Is that from Adam Sandler?
Adam Sandler, Uncut Gems. And I had heard that, and I have a lot of Jewish friends. I'd heard that. Like, I don't understand why they do that, but it's kind of a cool tradition.
Because there are usually only Asian restaurants that are open on Christmas.
Yeah, okay.
I have worked, having been in the media, you know this, that if you want to get something to eat and it's Christmas, you know, the only thing that's open is usually some, Asian food store.
Okay, very good.
In the Ukraine, it's good luck if you decorate your Christmas tree with
soap. Sydney nope. Sweeney soap.
Nope.
Because it has a little hole in it. You could hang it on the branches.
Oh, no.
wow. I was kind of proud of myself.
Have you gone to therapy lately?
Not lately.
No, it's actually, it's spider webs.
Whoa. What do you make of that, Bob?
It's kind of, it works. It's cheap. It's affordable.
How do you make the spider to do that?
Yeah, how do you?
You're kind of a pervert. In 1965... Astronauts were broadcasting a famous Christmas song from outer space, and they claimed it came from a UFO. This is in 1965.
Okay.
What song do you think they did?
Hang on, Sloopy.
No, come on.
What, 60, a Beatles tune?
No.
Last Christmas?
It's a Christmas tune, 1965.
Oh, White Christmas.
Boy, you guys are bad.
Silent Night.
It's Jingle Bells. All right. On the subject of songs, the original, I won't make a question of this. The original Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer was a marketing song that was put together, and they took it out.
I think I knew this.
Huh?
I think I knew this, but go ahead.
And they tried to get many different people to sing it. They started with Bing Crosby, and he was like, well, I don't think I'm going to do that one because it's not my kind of thing. Anyways, so who did they end up getting in 1939 to sing the song? The very first person.
Burl Ives.
Nope.
The very Ronald first. Reagan.
Nope.
Frank Sinatra.
Nope.
Mariah Carey.
No, it was actually Gene Autry, the cowboy star.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And he was the guy who actually sang it. And he did it because his wife told him it was going to be a great song. It made millions of dollars.
Did he get a taste?
Yeah.
Okay.
Back in 1939.
See, when I did that, I pulled it back to the mob. Bob Dennis, thank you as always, my friend.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
We got to go. It's lovely having you here, my friend.
Don't lie to me.
Looking forward to that eighth visit, which is right around the corner. That's your Christmas gift.
Thank you, sir.
Bob Dennis, folks, we are coming right back with Bridget Zilke from the Wade House. A really cool event coming up there. We'll tell you all about it. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
No strength, and you're jumping low. Yes, you're jumping on a fast train. My sweet love. Oh, my love. My sweet love.
Welcome back.
I really want to see you.
Sometimes I take my time if I like the song before I talk. Puts me in a good mood. Hey, this has been really fun, folks. We are in the home stretch here of this Monday night edition of Nightlight. Always fun. We've had a good time here, Con. Would you agree?
I totally agree.
Yeah.
Great Monday.
I thought you'd say that. All Mondays are great, dude. It's just great to be back on the air. All right, so I am about to welcome my final guest of the night. Very excited to talk to this woman. We have a friend at the Wisconsin Historical Society named Rebecca Warner, and she has referred some outstanding guests to us, and she is also responsible for my next guest joining me here on Nightlight tonight. She is the and we're going to talk about a really cool event. Conrad, gas up the truck. We might have to road trip.
Okay, sounds good.
She is the director for the Wade House, one of the 12 Wisconsin Historical Society's campuses or sites, I guess you would say. And she joins us now over the stream to talk about said event, Bridget Zilke. Hi, Bridget.
Hi, Pete.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. How's it going so far, do you think?
How's it going so far? Yeah. Well, we have plenty of snow, so we're ready for a Wade House Christmas this coming weekend on the 13th and 14th of December.
I love that. We're going to talk all about this. This is, like you said, this weekend. And you guys at the Wisconsin Historical Society, all the people we've had on talk about these outstanding events. If people do come out to the Wade House this weekend, what can we expect that experience to be like?
You will experience the warmth and charm of a 19th century holiday. So we have both our visitor center and our Wade House Stagecoach Inn decorated. They're both decorated with fresh greens. So there's garland, there's fresh sprigs. There are two Christmas trees, one that's 8 foot tall and one that's 5 foot tall. The 5 foot tall tree is in the Wade House. It's actually candle lit, and twice per hour during each day, we light the candles, and it's just a very charming atmosphere. And you feel like you're taken back to Christmas in the 1850s.
And why do people love that so much? Is that just like a more innocent time? I mean, we have so much commercialism And Christmas has become so media glorified or maybe consumerish or whatever you want to call it. But this does take you back, doesn't it?
It does take you back, I think, to a period of time where the pace was much slower than it is today. And perhaps those families had more of a chance to slow down and enjoy each other's companies and the season itself. And it wasn't as materialistic as perhaps it is today.
So great. Okay, so if you're looking to check out this event at the Wade House this weekend, folks, Greenbush is just west of Plymouth on Highway 23 between Sheboygan and Lake Winnebago. Not a far drive, really, for anybody in our listening audience. We're on statewide, Bridget, but we have a lot of listeners in Milwaukee, Madison, Northeast Wisconsin. So it sounds like a great event. Now, it says the program was designed for students, but I'm just guessing it's equally as fun for adults?
Yes. Actually, I'm glad you brought that up. New this year, we are offering school tours, which are also titled A Wade House Christmas. So Monday through Friday, school can come through and get a similar experience to what we offer to the public on the weekend of December 13th and 14th. So we are embracing teachers and students of all ages, just wanting to provide them with a chance to meet Father Christmas, to listen to A Night Before Christmas, to sing the 12 Days of Christmas, just really to provide them with an opportunity to get an understanding of what Christmas in the past would have been like.
And it's interesting, I think so many of us from year to year, I know there have been times like I would say over the last 10 years where two or three of those years, I had trouble getting in the Christmas spirit. You know what I mean? But like when you go to these great Wisconsin historical sites, that's exactly what they're designed to do, or maybe not why they're designed to do that, but they just do. They put you in that mood.
We have developed this program to do just that, to put you in the mood of wanting to embrace the merriment of the season of Christmas. And you don't have to do any of the work. We've already decorated the trees. We've hired the musicians. You are able to come and enjoy the experience. We do have many hands-on activities, both in the visitor center, which is located right on Highway 23, but also in the historic core where the Wade House Stagecoach Inn is located and where our blacksmith shop is located. So you get to, if you're interested, decorate a gingerbread cookie that is in the shape of a gingerbread boy. You are able to make a paper ornament, which you can take home and hang on your tree. Or if you don't want to make a paper ornament, you can purchase one of the ornaments that our blacksmith is forging in the blacksmith shop as you're watching. So we are also thrilled to say that we have live music taking place in both the visitor center and in the Wade House Stagecoach Inn. So we have several local music groups who come in and perform. So on Saturday in our visitor center, we'll have the Kohler High School Madrigal Singers.
Oh, wow.
And they're singing songs from, you know, the 15th and 16th centuries. We then also on Saturday have Sound Celebration, which is a local woman's a cappella group. And they sing a variety of songs, and just hearing live music, for me at least, gets me in that holiday spirit. On Sunday, we have the Sheboygan North High School Holiday Strings performing, the Random Lake Chamber Singers, and then again, the Sheboygan North High School Northern Lights. And they are mostly vocal, the musicians who are coming into the visitor center, but down at the Wade House Historic, well, the Stagecoach Inn, we have instrumentalists. So we'll have a violin, someone playing the violin. We'll have someone playing the guitar. And they're playing music that is from the period. So when you step into the Wade House, it's as if you just stepped off the stagecoach and you're entering the tap room or you're entering the front parlor and you're hearing the types of music they would have been greeted by as they walk through the front door and said hello to Sylvanus and Betsy Wade.
That's so great. My guest is Bridget Zilke. She is the director of the Wade House, one of the great Wisconsin Historical Society's 12 sites that they manage here in Wisconsin. Bridget, so you've got And if you want more information, it's wadehouse.org, correct? W-A-D-E.
That is correct.
House.org. Definitely check that out. The prices are very reasonable. The event is taking place this Saturday and Sunday, December 13th and 14th. They've got horse-drawn wagon rides through the woods to Wade House, which is so cool. Family decorating, scavenger hunts, caroling throughout the day. Like, what more could you possibly ask for to get yourself in that Christmas spirit? And you mentioned the blacksmith and a horse-drawn carriage, right?
Yes. So if you visit the Wade House, you start the experience at our visitor center, and everyone will receive a horse-drawn wagon ride. And the horses during this season wear sleigh bells. So yeah, it will be a magical journey from the visitor center down to the historic core, which is about a mile in length. And right now it's Wade House's property is like a winter wonderland. So you're traveling on this curvy road that crosses the Mullet River, and it's quite beautiful and enchanting. So that's one of, I believe, the special activities that we offer to any guest who comes to the Wade House is this horse-drawn transportation. And the Wade House itself, the historic site, the story we're telling is a horse-powered story, right? We're speaking of the era of horse-drawn carriages and buggies and an inn where travelers who had been on a horse-drawn wagon or a stagecoach stop in for a bite to eat, something to drink, or perhaps to spend the night.
Oh, that sounds so fun. Tell us, if you would please, Bridget, a little bit about the family that created Wade House, and a little bit about the history, if you would please, of the house.
Absolutely. So Wade House Stagecoach Inn was built in the late 1840s and opened in 1850. It was built by Sylvanus and Betsy Wade, and they were on the frontier and they were entrepreneurs. They had moved from out east to Greenbush and just loved Greenbush and decided to settle in the community, or to create a community.
You could turn your phone off if you like. There's no worry there.
it's not my phone, so I'd have to go searching.
Oh no, no worries then.
But perhaps let me go. It might be husband.
Yeah, take your time. So Con, you know, I'm just going to take this moment right now. Folks, just a reminder that in our Civic Media Multi-State Grown-Up Gift List Text to Win Contest, I'm about to give you the keyword again before we start up with Bridget here again, but our Grown-Up Gift List Text to Win Multi-State Contest keyword of this hour. And if you text in and win, we could put $200 cash in your pocket, which always helps around this time of year, and you will be automatically enrolled for our three grand prizes, which is a brand new snowblower, a stainless steel cookware set, or a portable air conditioner. The only stipulation is you have to text in on the app to be eligible. So get your phones ready or your iPads or whatever, because this hour's text to win keyword, once again, is freeze, F-R-E-E-Z-E, freeze. Conrad, I spelled that well. And
yes,
tell people what else they can do to increase their chances to win, please.
Yeah, once you text in, you'll get a confirmation link. You click that link, and you can earn extra entries by subscribing to the newsletter, Civic Media Today. Great read. Get that in your inbox.
Absolutely.
And then also, you subscribe to our podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, both, and you get three extra entries.
That is the Nightlight with Peach Wabba podcast, to clarify. Thank you, Conrad, and good luck, everybody. Freeze, F-R-E-E-Z-E. That is the keyword. Text it in your app, and you'll be off to the races. We've got a few more minutes with our guest here, Bridget Zilke. She is the site director for the Wade House, one of the great 12 Wisconsin Historical Society sites. We were talking about the history of the site, Bridget, and it includes the, you talked about the blacksmith shop, but I thought this was interesting. There is a working water-powered sawmill, one of the only of its kind in the nation. That is really, I think that's worth going there alone.
It absolutely is. It's amazing. It was built in 2001, and it's a replica of a sawmill that stood in that same area in the 1850s. It won't be open this weekend because it is water powered and it's not heated.
Okay.
But if you come back during our main season, which is the end of May through the beginning of November, you will see a tradesman at work in the sawmill, and you see an up and down muley saw in action. And I will tell you, it's my husband's favorite part of the site to visit, because you walk in, you smell the sawdust, you see the saw traveling up and down, cutting through a piece of lumber, and it's just an incredible way to experience history. And it's so different, so unique. One of, I think, a handful of sawmills that are operating in the United States. And I would be remiss to not mention that we have at our site the Wesley W. Young Carriage Museum, which is the state's largest collection of horse-drawn vehicles. So we have more than 80 hand-drawn and horse-drawn vehicles on display at our visitor center. Go ahead.
Let's pick up right there. We're going to do a really short break, and then I'm going to tell you one more thing that this weekend offers. We're coming right back. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. Tomorrow night on Nightlight, host of Matt and Air on Air, Jane Matt and Air, joins us at 5:35. That might be, she's retiring this week, Conrad. You know that?
Yeah.
Incredible career Jane has had. She joins us tomorrow night to talk about it a little bit. From the Rar West Museum in Manitowoc, Executive Director Greg Vadney drops by the studio. He's always fun to have here. And then another Wisconsin Historical Society guest, Jenny Peterson from Madison's History Maker Space. So more fun tomorrow night. And we've got a couple more minutes with our current guest, Bridget Zilke, who is the site director for the Wade House. And we were talking about a Wade House Christmas, and they have a great field trip for students this year, all kinds of fun stuff. Bridget, before we let you go, I just want to say one of the things that jumped out at me, we talked about how it's you celebrate kind of traditional Christmases, and it's a very nostalgic. I love that you have a live reading of The Night Before Christmas. How cool is that?
It's loved by everyone.
Yeah.
And it's such a popular story, but I feel that in our setting, it really comes to life.
Yeah, I agree. And this is just a recap. It's happening this weekend. It's December 13th and 14th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Wade House in Greenbush, Wisconsin. Admission is just, for all the stuff we just talked about, admission is only $15 for adults and teens, $13 for seniors, and $8 for kids. If you want more information, check out the Wade House, or just wadehouse.org, wadehouse.org, W-A-D-E, house.org. Bridget, this has been fun. Thank you so much for your time tonight, and I hope the event goes swimmingly this weekend, and please come back sometime.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, Pete.
You're very welcome. Okay, that's Bridget Zilke. Check out a Wade House Christmas taking place this weekend in Greenbush, an outstanding and thank you. Another shout out to Rebecca Warner for setting us up with such fun guests. Con, how are we doing? So we got a few more texts to read here.
You got a Steady Eddie text.
We got a Steady Eddie text? Yeah. Well, if I start now, maybe I'll be done by tomorrow morning. So I better get going on that. We kid because we love Steady Eddie. I'd like to thank all my guests tonight. Mike Clemens started off with a bang with some Packer Bear talk. We had Bob Dennis in studio talking mob stuff. Glenn Silber talking about his film playing at the Barrymore on Wednesday and Thursday night called Baristas versus Billionaires. And Glenn is an outstanding filmmaker who's won tons of awards and went to school at UW-Madison. So thank you to all those people. Thank you for your texts and calls. I hope people find success in our Text to Win contest. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids in the 608 answers our movie question, which is, what is your favorite football movie? We've got a few more texts here before we get out of here. Tyler says, The Last Boy Scout. Football in the pouring rain with fireworks. I don't know how they pulled that out. That was Damon Wayans, I think, or one of the Wayans brothers, I think, was the star of that, or maybe Bruce Willis and Damon Wayans. Dave in the 608, our pal Dave, says, Brian's Song, another great one. Even a Packer fan, Conrad, can love Brian's Song. It's hard not to like. We also heard No Packers, No Life from Rita, our friend Craig Benzine. Matt from Middleton. Oh, I think I read these. Wow, are we all cut up?
Yeah, just a novel by Steady Eddie is on the text line.
All right, I'll get to that. We do have our pal John in the 608 on the east side of Madison. Says, Warren Beatty, can't remember the name. He played Joe Pendleton, and the movie was Heaven Can Wait. And Warren Beatty plays a guy who, Joe Pendleton, a guy who wants to play quarterback. He finally got his shot, but he's involved in this horrible accident. And the messenger from heaven pulled him out of his body, pulled his soul out, so he wouldn't experience pain. And as it turns out, he would have lived. So now they got to find a body for the soul. And it's very comical, very funny. Buck Henry plays the messenger from heaven. Charles Grodin plays a billionaire's secretary, and he's having an affair with the billionaire's wife, played by Diane Keaton. Very fun movie. Lots of laughs. Some very sweet moments, too, though. Monica from Mount Horeb says, I vote for The Longest Yard, the original one. Wow, we got that. What do you think is the winner, Con? Longest Yard got a lot. Heaven Can Wait got a lot.
Brian's Song got a lot, too.
Brian's Song got a lot. Yeah, it's a tough one. But great text, everybody. Thank you so much. Let's get to Steady Eddie's text, and he can bring us home here tonight. Going to the text line. Lots of keywords. That's good to see. I'm having trouble here, Con. Oh, there we go. I got Steady. Oh, my gosh. I think Steady Eddie wrote a football movie in this text. This is awesome. I better start now. Steady Eddie says, well, there you go again, Pete, disparaging the skills of acting President Reagan. I'm still disappointed that Ronald Reagan did not win the Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor for his performance in Bedtime for Bonzo. No, you're not, Steady Eddie. When he played second banana to a chimpanzee. If Ronald Reagan didn't deserve the Academy Award that year, then I'm a monkey's uncle. That's a famous old phrase that I have not heard. I'm guessing Steady Eddie's older than us.
I thought he'd be like 25.
Monkey's uncle. I love that, Steady Eddie. He says, unfortunately for the Gipper, Bonzo stole the movie with a very nuanced portrayal of a misunderstood monkey. I've written an updated sequel screenplay to Bedtime for Bonzo called Bonzo Goes, Goes Bananas. And I'd like you to play the lead in the movie, Pete. Am I playing a chimp, Eddie? Thanks for thinking of me, though. He says, could you also direct, produce, and finance my film? Thanks in advance, Steady Ed. Steady Eddie. Postscript. Conrad knows what that means. Best football movie? Rudy, 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 Rudy. So you're saying Rudy, Steady Eddie. Rudy got a lot of votes, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Steady Eddie,
well,
you've outdone
yourself. It just got four right there.
It got four. I think it's the winner because of Steady Eddie. Thank you, sir. Always fun to read your text, pal. We got so much fun coming up tomorrow night, folks, and we'll get into all kinds of fun topics as usual. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, how are we doing on time? Am I going way too early? Oh, we got a minute left?
Yeah.
Oh, I got a ton of stuff planned. All right. Thank you again, everybody. Thanks to the guests. And get yourself a Yuengling beer, Conrad.
I've had too many already.
During the show?
Maybe.
How hammered are you? Seriously, just be honest. All right. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, I'm Pete Schwabba saying good night, Wisconsin.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.